The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
This is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, where we'll be live on Friday for our next live show and the last show of the summer. We won't be back there until Halloween. So come out and join us on Friday. And you don't need a ticket. You do not need a reservation. Just come to the show. You can stay for all the show, part of the show. It's up to you. But we'd love to see you there this Friday in Cape May. I want to play for you Caroline Leavitt today at the White House press conference. It's Cube Cut 35, talking about how already, as they launch this now crackdown in Washington, D.C., the surge that began Monday night, 850 officers and agents surged across the city. Take a listen.
Approximately 850 officers and agents were surged across the city. They made a total of 23 arrests, including multiple other contacts. Last night, these arrests consisted of homicide, firearms offenses, possession with intent to distribute narcotics, fare evasion, lewd acts, stalking, possession of a high-capacity magazine, fleeing to elude in a vehicle, no permits, driving under the influence, reckless driving, and a bench warrant.
So the key, one of the themes, of course, is that the Dems are melting down because they know this is going to work. They know this is going to be effective. And they're not happy about this because, once again, Trump is going to win. And I think it was Chris Cillizza who wrote for The Washington Post who made the comment that Trump is, again, setting a trap for Democrats, setting a trap for them to walk into. And they'll walk into it because they're stupid and they just reflexively have to be against everything that Trump is doing. So if he now is sending in law enforcement to support D.C., even the mayor, who's now saying we need the help, they just have to be against it. Betty Johnson was the guy who today was in the White House press seat, talked about how his own house was set on fire in D.C. He's in the new media seat at the White House press briefing. Take a listen.
As a D.C. resident of 15 years, I lived on Capitol Hill. I witnessed so many muggings and so much theft. I lost track. I was carjacked. I have murders on my Ring camera and mass shootings. I witnessed a woman on my block get held up at gunpoint for $20. And my house was set ablaze in an arson with my infant child inside. And so to any reporter that says and lies that D.C. is a safe place to live and work, let me just say this. Thank you. Thank you for making the city safe, because no parent should have to go through what my family went through, having the fire department rip open their door to save their infant child. And so thank you for your work on securing this.
Amazing, right? So are they afraid it's going to work? Are they afraid that Trump is going to do something here successful? It's going to make D.C. stay safe and then people are going to want to go there again. Yeah, I mean, that's a big concern. I don't know how effective it's going to be, though, once the feds leave. And that's the issue, because D.C. has put in all these policies that tie the hands of the cops. And this is something that the head of the police union was referencing when he was saying that you've got 950 vacancies and all these laws that are designed to protect juveniles who are committing crimes, serious crimes. And it may work in the short term, but until you reform the laws in D.C., I don't know how long it works. The feds can't be there forever. That's the problem. And even though it's D.C. and it's federal, they could revoke the Home Rule Charter in Congress. I don't know if they're going to. They should, because there's no excuse for having the nation's capital be besieged by crime. Hell, there's no excuse for Philly to have a crime problem. There's really no excuse in this day and age for any city to have a crime problem. Given the amount of money we have in this country, given the resources we have with technology, there really is no excuse for any city to be overwhelmed by crime. It is just simply a matter of choice. It is a choice that is made by politicians, bottom line. And the reflexive acts of Democrats to come out and scream tyranny and manufactured emergency and everything else and all the other things that they do is because they just can't imagine that Trump is right about this, that people are cheering him on and saying, yeah, you know what? This is what needs to happen. We need this to happen because there's too much going on here in this city that is dangerous for people, and we have to do something about it. You know, we've got to do something and rein this back in. And he's responding to those people that voted for him. So let's turn to Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff authorized classified intelligence leaks to smear Trump during the Russia hoax, according to a whistleblower. Senator Adam Schiff, who was then the top Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, this is why all this has to come out. All the truth has to come out about Russia and the hoax and everything else. It all has to come out, and we need to get all of it in our grasp. He authorized leaks of classified information to tarnish President Trump during the Russia hoax, having assumed he would lead the CIA in a Hillary Clinton administration, according to a newly released whistleblower statement. I wonder how much of the mainstream corporate media, I wonder how much they'll cover this. I really do. I wonder how much the mainstream corporate media will actually cover this story. Probably not much. You know, Democrats love whistleblowers when whistleblowers are actually reporting on the actions of Republicans. But if a whistleblower comes out and says something on a Democrat, crickets. Let's cube Cut 19, Vice President J.D. Vance talking with Maria Bartiromo about new revelations in the Russia collusion hoax. He wants to see indictments. I want to see indictments. You want to see indictments. We all want to see indictments. Cut 19.
I absolutely want to see indictments, Maria. Look, of course, you've got to have the law follow the facts here. You don't just indict people to indict people. You indict people because they broke the law. But if you look at what Tulsi and Kash Patel have revealed in the last couple of weeks, I don't know how anybody can look at that and say that there wasn't aggressive violations of the law. What they basically did is they defrauded the American people in order to take Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign talking points and turn them into intelligence by defrauding the American people, defrauding the intelligence agencies, lying about what the intel said. They would take something that supported a Hillary Clinton campaign talking point, and they would overemphasize it and exaggerate it. They took anything that actually contradicted that narrative, and they buried it deep. And through that, they actually laundered Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign talking points through the American intelligence services. That's a violation of the people's trust. That's a violation of what our intelligence services should be doing. And I absolutely think they broke the law. And you're going to see a lot of people get indicted for that. Here's the thing that should really bother the American people. What do you want our intelligence community to be doing? I want them to be catching bad guys. I want them to be making sure that terrorists aren't going to kill innocent American civilians. I don't want them laundering Hillary Clinton's campaign talking points into the American media and giving them this air of legitimacy. It is sick. And it's disgusting. It hurt the intelligence community. It hurt the American people. And it hurt the first Trump administration. We've got to have consequences for it, or we're just going to see the same play repeated again and after again.
Yeah, you know, he's right. And of course, even though he's a part of an authoritarian, totalitarian administration that doesn't care about the rule of law, he says we have to follow the law and go where the facts lead us. We can't just indict people for the sake of it. Obviously, I was being sarcastic in the first part of that. And that's true. We can't, because what you don't want to do is indict people, have a flimsy case, and then they win, because then they're empowered. So I know people are impatient. I know that there's a sense of it of, my God, you know, we're just hearing about all this talk, but we get to see anything. You have to make sure you build cases properly. Otherwise, you'll go after these people. They'll get indicted. Sure, you indict anybody, but then they walk. Now you've vindicated them. You've now built them up stronger, and the entire idea falls apart. The idea that they were behind this Russia hoax, it all blows up in your face. So you have to follow the facts where they lead, no question about it. But Representative Steve Scalise, it's a flashback for you, told Congress that Shifty Schiff possessed over 3,500 pages of illegally obtained phone records. This is Cut 20.
But I'm very concerned about what the chairman has done. And I'll yield in a moment. But he selectively he selectively put in a report the names of members of the press, of members of Congress, who he has had political disagreements with. He didn't put the names of everybody else in there. If he's got 3,500 pages of reports of phone records of people he's been spying on, he won't share all of those people that he's spying on, but he's selectively going to leak out names of members of the press who've written articles maybe that he disagrees with? That's frightening. That would be an abuse of power, but we don't know because the chairman won't share the details of what he's up to. But he did selectively put some of that in a report that wasn't even discussed in the hearings. And so, yes, it raises alarms. It raises concerns. And I would hope we get to the bottom of it.
So Schiff thought he would become the head of the CIA in Hillary Clinton administration. The unidentified male source is whistleblower, according to the New York Post, who worked as a Democratic staffer on the House Intelligence Committee for 12 years after more than two decades in the intelligence community, told FBI agents in December of 2017 that the mood among the panel became indescribable after Trump's upset victory the year before. Ranking member Schiff was particularly upset as he believed he would have been appointed as the director of the CIA had candidate Hillary Clinton won the election, according to a summary of the interview obtained by the Post. In September of 2017, the same whistleblower told investigators that he had heard from congressional staff colleagues around October of 2016, Schiff would be offered the CIA job if Clinton had won. After Trump was sworn in, the September 2017 interview summary reads as follows, quote, Schiff believed Russia hijacked the election and the United States was in the middle of a constitutional crisis. Classified information began leaking to the media. The Democratic minority leadership of the Intelligence Committee was aware of the leaks, but was under the impression that leaking the information was one way to topple the administration and fix the constitutional crisis. During an FBI interview in June of 2023, the whistleblower recalled being part of an all-staff meeting by now Senator Adam Schiff, at which the Democrats stated the group would leak classified information, which was derogatory to the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, and that information would be used to indict President Trump. You see, unlike what J.D. Vance said, the Democrats don't give a damn about indicting their political enemies, and they don't care if it's a lock-solid case. And in the case of this, if they indict him in D.C., you know a D.C. jury is going to find him guilty, whether he deserves it or not. The facts being what they were, if the Jack Smith case, the non-special prosecutor, that psycho-obsessed attorney, if that had not all been thrown out, Jack Smith probably would have got a conviction against Donald Trump in D.C. court because the jury is made up of lunatics. 97% of the city's liberals, so finding a jury of your peers would be impossible. The president's legal team would try for a change of venue, but good luck. So for Schiff and guys like him, unlike what J.D. Vance said about you can't just go around indicting people, you got to have the facts, you got to build a case. They don't care about that. They just indict. And then you can say he's indicted. Then you bring it to a kangaroo court in D.C. Look, he conspired with Russia. A flimsy case that would ultimately be overturned on appeal. But in the short run, you get a guilty conviction. That was the plan. That was what they wanted to do. Part of the coup against Donald Trump. And they're still going. They were still trying. I mean, this is the thing. This conspiracy is not over. This conspiracy is still ongoing. That's why you can forget about any statute of limitations. Now, the whistleblower said he objected to Schiff's idea. A summary of that interview reveals only to be told by other participants that they would not be caught leaking classified information. Sometime later, the whistleblower said he was approached again about leaking against Trump and responded that he believed this activity to be unethical and treasonous. The whistleblower later reached out to the FBI and was even invited to attend a mock grand jury hearing, only to later be told that the Justice Department would not investigate further. Investigators believe that Schiff was protected by the Constitution's speech or debate clause, which bars the apprehension of legislators for their professional activities, except in the event of felony treason and breach of the peace. Whistleblower claimed in his June 2023 interview with the FBI that he did not believe Schiff's actions were covered by the speech or debate clause. I don't think so either. You're trying to basically frame the president. That's not covered by speech or debate. You're trying to get people to leak classified information. That's not covered by speech or debate. The whistleblower's claims are first supported by Just the News, with FBI Director Kash Patel confirming on X, "We found it. We declassified it. Now Congress can see how classified info was leaked to shape political narratives and decide if our institutions were weaponized against the American people." Now, if you remember, Kash Patel worked as a top aide to former House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes and authored a memo accusing FBI officials of abusing their power during the Trump-Russia investigation, which proceeded under the code name Crossfire Hurricane. The whistleblower was described as friends with both Schiff and Nunes and someone who worked with senior political leaders from both major political parties. However, a October 2017 FBI memo claimed the word was spreading among committee staff that the whistleblower had been fired for a perceived lack of party loyalty. When a Republican staffer went to offer condolences, the memo relates the whistleblower told them they lost their job because there was an expectation of leaking and he refused to participate. He refused to participate. He did not follow the party's orders. Over drinks that evening, the whistleblower claimed that Democrats on the Intelligence Committee had established a system for leaking in which sensitive information would be given to Adam Schiff, after which a decision was made as to who would leak the information. One prominent oversharer, according to the whistleblower, was Representative Eric Swalwell, another committee member with a serious gas problem. In the December 2017 FBI interview, the whistleblower recounted how a particularly sensitive document was seen by a small group of lawmakers and staff, including Schiff and Swalwell, but leaked out almost verbatim within a day. The whistleblower allegedly claimed to have been warned to be careful because Swalwell had a reputation for leaking classified information, among other things that leaks out of his body. Schiff, who spearheaded the first indictment of Trump in 2019, had long been suspected by Republicans of leaking classified intelligence during the Russiagate saga. He also infamously read key portions of the since debunked Steele dossier into the congressional record in 2017. You remember he was censured by Republicans for his role in Russia, the Russia hoax, only for him to be elected to the Senate the following year. Last week, the Post reported that a grand jury had been convened in Maryland to investigate whether Adam Schiff falsified bank documents and property records to acquire more favorable loan terms. So Larry O'Connor, who's a talk show host of WMAL in D.C., used to write for Breitbart and actually used to fill in on the station here many, many years ago. O'Connor also has a podcast he does for Town Hall. He really came forward and brought the receipts about how Schiff had lied about his residence in Maryland as being his primary residence to obtain a more favorable loan, even though he represents California in the United States Senate. So the FBI earlier this month initiated an investigation into former CIA Director John Brennan, as you know, and ex-FBI Director James Comey for any potential criminal actions taken as part of the Trump-Russia probe. The Justice Department also launched a strike force last month after Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard released a long-anticipated 44-page report from the House Intelligence Committee that found egregious errors committed by Brennan and the compiling of an assessment that claimed Moscow preferred Trump to defeat Clinton, which was, of course, all a lie. Here's Caroline Levitt from today's briefing. Cut number two, the president has already said he wants to see Adam Schiff being held accountable. Take a listen.
The president has already said he wants to see Adam Schiff held accountable for the countless lies he told the American people in relation to the Russiagate scandal. I brought Tulsi Gabbard out to this podium to talk to you about all of that. And this administration is taking accountability very seriously. As for this new FBI whistleblower report, I understand Kash Patel last night declassified a 302 FBI document showing that a whistleblower who is a Democrat, a career intelligence officer who worked for Democrats on the House Intel Committee for more than a decade, repeatedly warned the FBI in 2017 that then Rep. Adam Schiff had approved leaking classified information to smear then President Donald Trump over the Russiagate scandal. This is obviously a bombshell whistleblower report. Hopefully more people in this room will cover it as such. And I have a quote from the FBI director for all of you. He has said this: for years, certain officials used their positions to selectively leak classified information to shape political narratives. It was all done with one purpose: to weaponize intelligence and law enforcement for political gain. Those abuses eroded public trust in our institutions. The FBI will now lead the charge with our partners at DOJ, and Congress will have the chance to uncover how political power may have been weaponized and to restore accountability. That's what the administration is focused on, and hopefully we'll see some more media reports on this whistleblower allegation. If this were reversed, if this were allegations against the president or any of these cabinet officials, I'm sure everyone in this room would cover it as such.
Now, Michael Cohen, who's a scumbag and a rat and a turncoat, but he's got a prediction about Adam Schiff and Letitia James, who also, by the way, is being investigated for mortgage fraud. Remember, she also lied about multiple primary residences to obtain more favorable rates, mortgage rates, because if it's your primary residence, you can get a lower rate than if it's a second home or a rental property or something like that. So these people lied. And he's actually predicting that they'll be held accountable. He was on MSNBC with Jonathan Capehart. Cut 21.
Look at what he's doing right now, for example, with Tish James. Look at what he's doing with Adam Schiff. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to make another bold prediction here on
the show. A lot of predictions at 8 o'clock in the morning.
There's a lot of predictions. Here, take these notes, because mark my words, politically, they're both doomed. All right. I'm telling you right off the bat, this is a political suicide for both Tish James and Adam Schiff.
More of a political homicide.
Well, they didn't do anything well. But how are they going to be? How are they politically doomed if Senator Schiff comes from a blue state? Attorney General Tish James is here in a blue state. They are elected by the people. How are they doomed politically?
It'll be gerrymander. It will end up being somehow. They will end up being held
racist.
Yes, but they will also be held accountable. Mark my words, they will be held accountable
for the crimes that
they are now looking at. That's Ed Martin who's looking at him. And I know so many people are going to say, oh, my God, Michael Cohen is like bending the knee to Trump. No, what I'm doing is I'm actually telling you the reality. We could talk to each other all day long and we can say, oh, I have a million followers. You have a million followers. It's the same million followers. 77 million Americans ended up voting for Trump. Mark my words, Ed Martin, the Department of Justice, Pam Bondi, they will figure out exactly how to go after Adam Schiff, how to go after Tish James for these mortgage violations. And they
alleged
will be
mortgage violations.
Alleged,
exactly.
Correct. Yeah. And they will be held accountable. That's my next prediction here on your show. And I know that I'm right, because if there is a signing of a box, which is wrong, and trust me, I know, I went to prison. One of my charges was on my HELOC. I had a low mortgage onto it. I had 80% equity. They held me accountable for a HELOC violation. Theirs is much worse. And
theirs is much worse. Look, either you have nobody's above the law or not. I mean, you know, law is equal or it's not. Matt DeSantis, I'm told you have exclusive footage of Eric Swalwell leaking information. Is that correct?
This is exclusive footage. Nobody else has it.
Well, this is fantastic. Well done. Excellent. The Congressman Eric Swalwell leaking. Take a listen.
The evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard from...
You know, I don't know why I fell for that. I don't know why I thought you might have actually done your job and come up with some clip, back up this story. That would have been helpful to everybody. Not entertaining the 10-year-old child that you are.
It's funny every time.
Justin, why did I fall for that?
You see the good in DeSantis too much.
Clearly. Clearly. He says, I have exclusive footage of Eric Swalwell leaking. That's what we get. That's what I get.
He was leaking. He was leaking.
That's true. Technically, that does count as a leak. It does. Just saying. Technically speaking.
That mangle mush in chat was right. He was eating Olean chips.
Well, great throwback or callback to yesterday's show. Well done. Well done. And I do owe Navy Prepper an apology because it is blood spatter. I've been rewatching Dexter. And there's a great line in there in one of the seasons where the guy, it's the episode, I think it's season 7, where it's the whole Ukrainian subplot. And the guy goes, he's a blood splatter analyst. The guy goes, spatter, you idiot, spatter. And I thought, oh, man, I'm going to eat my own words here. By the way, Dexter is a great show. You guys ever see it?
It's on my list of shows that I need to watch.
It's so good. Somebody said this. I can't take credit for it, but now that I've heard it, I can't unsee it. He's basically Batman if Batman murdered people. He's like an incredible detective, and he just goes after bad guys, but he kills them. It's really good.
I'll add it. Add it to my list. I'm still in the middle of Leave It to Beaver.
Okay. On that note, we're going to take a break. So. Child.
It's taken me a while to get through.
Oh, I can imagine.
The seasons are so long.
I know. That fake girlfriend is taking up all your time. What are you going to do? What's a man to do? Hey, honey, let's go watch Leave It to Beaver. Then did you blow her up before or after the show starts? Or during? How does that work?
Well, she doesn't like the show, so I just watch it alone.
And you haven't finished yet? I'm shocked.
There's like 40 episodes per season.
He's got 2 left.
I don't.
All right, let's talk about your health. You need to undergo complex dental surgery. I'm talking the whole 9 yards. Implants, crowns, etc. You're really going to go to just any old pop-up dental chain? No, you want the best of the best. And when it comes to complex dental surgery, for over 12 years in a row, Dr. Mike Veneria has been recognized among his peers as the undisputed master of complex dentistry. That's right. Dr. Mike treats other doctors, hospital administrators, Dr. Maz, and other dentists call him the expert and send their patients to Dr. Mike for the really complicated stuff. You want a dentist who actually cares about your health. And with Dr. Mike, it's not about cost. It is about care. The compassion and commitment to your health is their top priority. That is why Dr. Mike is a dentist of my entire family. You know, Bridget got a brand new smile from him last year. Her veneers needed to be replaced. He put in beautiful, beautiful caps, and her teeth of smiles never looked more beautiful. If you've been putting off getting that free dental implant consultation, or if you've had a consultation, get a second opinion. Go see Dr. Mike Veneria today. He's a great guy. He's a great friend of the show. And he's my dentist. And people ask him all the time, they go, does Rich really come here? Yes, I do. I go to the Cinnaminson office. But he also has an office in Woodbury. Both offices right over the bridge, easy to get to. So call him today, 856-786-2020. Or visit VeneriaDental.com. That's VanariaDental.com. VeneriaDental.com. My buddy, my friend, and the undisputed master of dental implants, Dr. Mike Veneria.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Zeoli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, a premier full service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
By the way, Dr. Mike just texted me. He's listening to the show. So not only is he my dentist, he's also my listener. See that? He's one of us. Zioli Army. Dr. Mike Veneria, one of us. All right, so Friday we're in Cape May. We're live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May. On Thursday, I'm supposed to be on America's Newsroom. I'm sorry, America Reports with Sandra Smith and John Roberts. But that show tends to have a lot of breaking news, so we'll see. And then maybe Friday on Ingram Engel, live from Cape May. Who knows? We'll see how the week goes. But today I have the opportunity, the fortune, to be on America's Newsroom this morning with Dana Perino and Bill Hemmer. And the great part about it is that I was in the A block, the coveted A block, right at the top of the show, 9 o'clock, with Paul Morrow, retired NYPD inspector. And had a lot of requests. Can we play it? Hey, listen, we play experts all the time on this radio station. But they never play me. Yeah, you know, they'll play experts who are on CNN. They'll play Scott Jennings. But they don't play me and what I say, even though I'm literally on this radio station. Boggles the mind. But anyway, I'm sure Scott Jennings says something that's totally riveting. But guess what? So do I. I'm just saying. You know what they do on Fox? Justin, they play clips of other shows. You know that?
Yeah.
You know what we don't do here?
It couldn't be not play you on Fox, could it?
Bingo. You nailed it. It's like we don't talk about it. It's like we don't talk about Bruno. We don't talk about Bruno. Oh, I'm not going to sing. I apologize for that. That was almost as bad as the leaking by Eric Swalwell.
The leaking was pure genius.
Is that what we're pure calling
genius.
That's what people are saying.
So here's a clip from America's Newsroom this morning. Take a listen.
Rely upon their professional presence. So we're going to have a curfew, right? They have already put that in place, and in some cases, they're actually making it even more draconian because they want the young kids who are committing a lot of these crimes off the streets. Well, if you have around some of the trouble areas stationed National Guard, some FBI people that are going around that are visible, that stops stuff before it happens. It's a great force multiplier, and it saves the police from having to do that kind of stuff, frees them up to handle the jobs that are coming over the radio, to go to the house, knock on the door, ma'am, you called 911, what's going on? And that's the kind of thing that makes it easier for the cops to get out there, do the job they expect to do, as opposed to chasing the radio all night or standing around in front of a 7-Eleven because it constantly gets shoplifted.
That's a really good point. Home Rule Act gives you 30 days to do it. Why not just sit back and see if it works?
Right. Yeah, I mean, for the Democrats to react this way is such a political mistake for them. There was a time when Democrats were tough on crime. Remember when Bill Clinton in the 90s declared war on the Bloods and the Crips? And he hired 10,000 cops, and said, we're going to go after gang violence. That was a different time. Joe Biden, there was a clip of him going around saying he would speed through red lights in D.C. because he didn't want to get carjacked. The Democrat outrage over this is, again, the faux outrage that shows how out of touch they are with the people in the communities who are actually affected by crime. People there don't care about what data and statistics say. They care about being safe. And they're not safe. And they know they're not safe. And listening to that mom was heartbreaking to hear that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's 30 days. And the Democrats should be welcoming the help. The head of the D.C. Police Union was on. Paul, I'm sure you saw this guy. He said, we have 2 million hours a year. I couldn't believe that number of mandatory overtime. 950 empty slots for the cops.
Wow.
So they're overworked, they're understaffed, they're over budget, and they
need the
help.
Too much money on that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Jeanine Pirro, she's the D.C. attorney, U.S. attorney for D.C., she talked about the issue with the young people. Right. Listen to this.
I see too much violent crime being committed by young punks who think that they can get together in gangs and crews and beat the hell out of you or anyone else. The laws are weak. I can't touch you if you're 14, 15, 16, 17 years old and you have a gun. I convict someone of shooting another person with an illegal gun on a public bus in the chest. Intent to kill? I convict him. And you know what the judge gives him? Probation.
Paul, thoughts?
Yeah, she's right, of course. And this has gone all over the country, not just to see. The thing about D.C. is that it's federalized, so the age of criminal liability is 18, which is the federal standard. But we're raising the age where it had been 16 and 17, like here in New York and other cities around the country. And so, of course, she's right. And never mind the judges. I think the real reason this is a hullabaloo, to cut right to it, is because the Dems sense that this is something that Donald Trump wants to carry through on a campaign promise nationwide. And the real fear is that it's going to work, just like broken windows worked. And then people around the country are going to say, well, it worked in D.C. Why aren't we doing it here in Oakland, San Francisco, L.A., New York, Chicago, St. Louis, Memphis, Portland, Seattle? I could go on. The nut job archipelago, as I've called it, of our blue cities that we're losing. All those mayors are now shaking in their boots. Now, he can't federalize those places the way he did here, but he can cut off funding and he can do a lot of other stuff.
Rich, more than half of the carjackers arrested in Washington, D.C. over the past 24 months were minors, the majority of whom were only 15 and 16 years old on average.
Yeah, and the laws in D.C. are written to protect these kids, and these are not kids on mischief night, you know, toilet papering a house and putting shaving cream. These are serious crimes. But to Paul's point about the Democrats in these blue cities, you were talking about prosecutors. You were talking about district attorneys. You're talking about mayors who are soft on crime, period. This is the new Democrat Party. They've taken all this money from various groups, Soros and others, and they put in these woke prosecutors, and they are soft on crime. They view the criminals as the victim of society. And unless the Democrat Party changes, they will cease to exist as a majority party forever, because the people in those communities, and this is why Donald Trump did so well with black and Latino voters, because there are the people that are most affected by the crime in these neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And the Democrat Party keeps putting in these people who are letting criminals go free. You know what a cop told me in Philadelphia? He said a lot of times they're just back on the street the next day. What's the point of making an arrest?
Here I was making that point yesterday.
Paul's made that point for years.
Yeah. And the thing is, just to close the loop, the disservice we're doing is to the young kids themselves, because they never feel the corrective of the criminal justice system, and the older perps are using them.
Right. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Rich.
Thank you. Great guest for us to have today. Also, this, a transgender sex offender.
Great guest for us to have today, Dana. I agree. Anyway, that was fun. So they want me back next week. I don't know exactly what day yet. I'll let you know as soon as I know. Believe me, I'll let you know, obviously. Although I didn't let you know yesterday. I did not promote that appearance on yesterday's show. I totally forgot. That's amazing to me. 4 hours and I didn't say one time I was going to be on America's Newsroom tomorrow morning. That's that actually is a record.
That's shocking.
It is shocking. In the entire 4 hours did I mention I was going to be on Fox News tomorrow morning.
That's never happened before.
Never. I think it's because I took my daughter to see Freakier Friday, and it was sort of a freaky Monday where I didn't promote myself going on Fox.
I would have assumed you didn't mention it out of fear of potentially jinxing your presence on Fox.
No, I just literally forgot. I just forgot. And then at 7 o'clock, I got the text from the booker, Jen, saying 9 a.m. And I thought, oh, man, I forgot to tell everybody I'm going to be on Fox tomorrow morning. And I just can't believe that, because I'll promote myself even if I think I'm going to get bumped.
You gotta get better at the self-promotion, I guess.
I'm working on it. Yesterday was Freaky Monday. Just forgot to promote, shamelessly self-promote. But I will be on America Reports on Thursday. Ow. That show, high probability of bumping, but that's okay. We can handle the bumping. It's all right. That happens. Either way. And then I got a nice note from Martha McCallum's booker. You know, our buddy Bryn at the White House, Matt?
Yeah, she's wonderful.
So she used to be the booker for Martha McCallum.
Oh, I didn't know that. I knew she worked at Fox, but I didn't know what job she held.
So I sent her a note last week thanking her for putting OMB director Russ Vogt on the show. And I said, hey, by the way, are you friends with the person who took your job for Martha? Because when I was on America's Newsroom last week, Martha filled in for Bill Hemmer and we had a great chat, great conversation. And she said, yes, let me connect you with the booker for the show. So I sent her a note and she wrote me literally right back, like within a minute of when I sent the text. She wrote back and said, hi, Rich, thank you so much for reaching out. I will stay in touch. Martha's been remote for the past couple days, but would love to have you Join on set when she gets back. Have a great rest of the week. Boom.
Nice.
So we get on America's Newsroom, America Reports, Martha McCallum, and Ingram Engel. That's four. Boom. Right there.
What's left? You'd just be on the entire, like, the network and every single episode of every single show.
Well, speaking of which, Jimmy Fallon's show next Friday night. We're taping that. If anybody wants to come. Good things are happening, I'm told.
Is there any show you haven't done on Fox?
The Hannity. Five.
Oh, Hannity, yeah.
And Gutfeld.
You'd be good on Gutfeld.
That's never going to happen. That's probably not going to happen.
Maybe. We'll see. They got you on every other show.
Yeah, but there's a... Justin, you want to explain it?
Conflict of interests?
It's like a thing. It's like the Jets and the Sharks, you know?
I think you and Gutfeld would be good together.
I can't say too much until I get a couple of drinks in me on Friday. But basically, well, I've done Fox and Friends first, but I've not been on Fox and Friends, the morning show. So, so yeah, we still have a couple of mountains to climb. Fox News at Night with Trace Gallagher. I've not done that show. Don't really. I mean, I'd love to. In other words, is what I was going to say. Love to be on there. It'd be great. But no, I'll never be on Hannity. You can't. I took the 3 o'clock spot from him twice.
I was going to ask.
Yeah, twice. I mean, it's one time. All right, maybe. But twice I took it from him. You know what I mean? Like, there's no chance in hell of that ever happening. 0.0. No way. I'm just lucky that he hasn't blackballed me over there. You know what I mean?
He's got like $300 million or something insane. I'm sure he doesn't hold a grudge.
That's true.
He's doing just fine.
He's doing all right. And he's got a hot fiance, you know what I mean?
Hannity does?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Ainsley. He's
engaged
to Ainsley Earhart, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So.
When did that happen?
A while ago.
December.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a full year. Yeah, more than almost a year. That's crazy. I had no idea. I feel like I keep up to date on the hot gossip, and I didn't even know that.
Oh, and I haven't been on The Five. I got to get on The Five. And Outnumbered. There's a lot of shows I got to get on still.
And Laura Trump's new Saturday show.
Laura Trump's Saturday Night Show. Yeah, the whole weekend, there's all these weekend shows and everything else. Yeah, there's a lot of shows, DeSantis. We've only just begun. We've only just begun, but getting on The Five one day, now that would be fun. That would be something right there. Anyway, you got to have goals. Got to have dreams, kid. You got to have a dream. All right. What else do we got? We got a lot. Oh, we're going to get into Chuck Schumer lying about a family that inspired him. You said that clip is hysterical?
Oh, it's amazing. The title kind of built it up, and I was thinking it's not going to live up to expectations, but I kind of skimmed through it over the last commercial break, and it's wonderful.
Oh, fantastic. I'm dying to play this now. CNN's Donna, as Bernie calls her, Dana Bash, speaking with Bernie Sanders about new polling and calling it right up the middle when talking to the Vermont Communist. Cut 26.
Something that I'm sure you have seen, a Gallup poll. Did you see this Gallup poll?
Yeah.
And what the Gallup poll found was that you are one of the most widely admired Americans, and I believe you're only second to the Pope.
You want me to declare my candidacy for Pope?
I don't think that you're eligible for a lot of reasons.
Then I won't do that.
I watched you tonight. I've watched you for a very, very long time. You're obviously...
And I've watched you, Donna. I've watched you intently. I've watched you undress.
For decades.
I've watched you shower. You didn't even know that, but I did. I put a camera in your changing room. Bernie has special feelings for you. Would you like to see my Pope hat? Donna, is that my Pope hat in my pocket, or am I just happy to see you, Donna?
Because he can't say Dana. He calls her Dana. Dana Bash. One of the most admired people besides the Pope, Bernie Sanders. You can't be Pope for a variety of reasons. Mainly because you don't believe in God, because you're a communist. But other than that, you know, there's that. They love you in America, except your own party, because they stopped you from becoming president 1, 2, 3 times. 2016, 2020, 2024. But other than that, they love you. Is there another presidential run in you? Go ahead, keep going.
Is there another presidential run in you?
Oh, God. Let's not worry about that. I am going to be 84 years of age next month, as a matter of fact. So I think that speaks.
But I still have it, Dana. And the doctor gave me a full supply of blue pills, which reminds me that Big Pharma are greedy oligarchs, but the blue pill gets Bernie fired up, Dana. So 84, but 84 is the new 40. That's, you notice he's got the sexy, smooth voice going on with Dana. Do you notice that?
I wouldn't call it sexy, but go on.
Smooth, Bernie.
I don't want to brag. I'm 84, but many of my peers have said to me that when I'm naked, I appear 24, Dana. And it often moves without the little blue pill. But nevertheless, my stash is complete because I'm actually on the payroll of Big Pharma like everybody else in D.C.
Then he decried that Kamala Harris was heavily influenced by very wealthy people. Bernie went after her for that. Cut 27.
For ordinary people.
You said the Democratic Party is turned its back on the working class. You'd said something pretty tough when you were speaking to this crowd about Kamala Harris.
One of the reasons, in my view, that Kamala Harris lost this election is she had too many billionaires telling her not to speak up for the working class of this country.
Ouch.
Well, no, I think, I mean, I don't think that that's...
You see, now he's smooth, Bernie.
But she was...
That was megaphone, Bernie, yelling at the top of his lungs at the crowd. Now he's smooth, Bernie, talking with the attractive blonde on CNN. See?
And not develop a strong agenda which speaks to the economic crises facing working families. You have more income and wealth inequality today than we've ever had. You have 60% of our people living paycheck to paycheck. You got a healthcare system which is broken and dysfunctional. And despite spending so much, we're the only major country not to guarantee healthcare to all people. How do you not talk about physicians?
She talked about affordability.
Well, but in a vague... I don't want to...
Actually, I think, Dana, she couldn't answer a frigging question to save her life. She was a moron. You know it, and I know it.
All right, listen, that's the big story of the hour brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com.
Would you like to see little Bernie?
Go see Dr. Mike for your perfect smile. And remember, he's my dentist, and it's about care. It's about compassion. He is the expert that the experts call. That's Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Fourth and final hour, straight ahead.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.